أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. We seek the protection of God from Shaytan, who has been expelled from God's kingdom of special mercy. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We submissively turn to God and ask for His help and guidance, because He is the All Perfect One, the All Merciful One, and the One whose endless mercy is available to those who believe and to those who submit to His will. Alhamdulillah. والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين. We send our salutations and greetings on the Holy Prophet and on his holy progeny, who are the best guides for mankind till the end of time. Elders, brothers and sisters, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. In our discussion on the dua of Kumail, we said it's important before you recite the dua, we should remind ourselves that this is not an ordinary dua. The reasons are obvious. The person who has reported and narrated this dua was not an ordinary person. Depending on the type and the level and the rank of perfection of a person, you would expect the report or the dua or the narration to be higher in content. And secondly, the fact that the dua requested is associated with Prophet Khidr. Khidr definitely was a prophet, because you notice when Musa alayhi salam requests to meet Khidr, and when he meets Khidr, he tells him that, will you grant me permission to accompany you and to learn from you? A prophet goes and learns from a non-prophet? It's not conceivable. هَلَّكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُعَلِّمَنِي مِمَّا عُلِّمْتَ رُشْدًا. Will you, humbly he requests, will you give me permission to accompany you so that I can learn from you? And then he tells him that, I will follow you. لا أعصي لك أمرا. I will not disobey whatever command you give. The only command the Prophet follows is that of God, or someone who is higher than him, between him and God. So Khidr definitely was an extraordinary person, higher than a Prophet. The dua associated with Khidr is this dua of Kumail. So it's an extraordinary dua. And number three, the fact that Imam alayhi salam does give him audience in a private session and dictates to him, and then tells him that even if you recite this dua once in your lifetime, it is so powerful, it can transform your whole life. And number four, the fact that the dua Imam alayhi salam is reported to have recited this dua in the state of sajda. And that indicates that the contents of the dua are something that can bring you close to Allah. And we said that a quick review of the themes covered in the dua Kumail indicates that part one discusses the different names of God. And then in summary, what we say is, O Lord, I ask you by those names of yours, whereby you know my problem, number one. Number two, you have the power to solve my problem. And number three, you are kind and merciful and loving enough to want to solve my problem if I deserve to be helped. And then once we have invoked him by those names, we say, I want to reach close to you. That's my most important request. But before I can get close to you, there are some obstacles that are blocking me. Remove those sins. Allahumma akfir li al-dhunub al-lati tahtiku al-isam tughayyiru al-ni'am. Tunzilun niqam. In paragraph 2, we said that that could be Allahumma inni as'aluka su'ala man ishtaddat faqatuh. It could be considered as a tafsir of this ayah, amman yujibul mudtarra idha da'ahu wa yakshifu as-su'. In paragraph number 3, Imam alayhi salam then offers an analysis. Why is it that I'm in this situation of sinfulness? It's not your fault, it is my fault. You gave me all the gifts. I may have misused them, and therefore I am to blame. And number four, oh Lord, I don't have the power to tolerate and endure the punishment of this dunya. But I declare, if you do take me to the fire of hell, then even there I shall cry out and I shall weep and I shall wail loudly. Where are you, O the master and the guardian of the believers? Because this was my firm belief in the dunya, inseparable from my mind and my heart. You put me to sleep, that's my last thought. You wake me up, that's my first thought. It's inseparable from me. And therefore you put me in the worst situations. I may forget everything, but I won't forget you. And therefore in the fire of hell, I'll cry out from the bottom of my heart, أَيْنَ كُنْتَ يَا وَلِيَّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَا غَايَةَ أَعْمَالِ الْعَارِفِينَ. And then after that, finally, Imam Alayhi Salaam asks for forgiveness. في هذه الليلة في هذه الساعة كل جرم أجرمته. And then after tonight, subsequently for the rest of my life, I want to be in total obedience to you. These are the main themes that are covered in this dua. Next slide, please. So we've covered the different names of God. Next. And اللهم إني أسألك برحمتك التي وسعت كل شيء قوتك عزتك جبروتك سلطانك وجهك الباقي بعد فناء كل شيء أسمائك التي غلبت أركان كل شيء أو ملأت أركان كل شيء علمك الذي أحاط بكل شيء نور وجهك الذي أضاء له كل شيء. All the names are complete. Now the total attention is to Allah. Ya Nuru, Ya Quddus, Ya Awwal al-Awwalin, wa Ya Akhir al-Akhirin. Nur, as we discussed in the previous session, Allahu Nuru al-Samawati wal-Arab. Definitely the Nur here is not the physical Nur. That is a creation of God. The sense in which a physical characteristic or attribute can be applied to God is that you take the positive aspects, remove the negative aspects and the limitations and the defects, and the highest level of perfection of those positive aspects you attribute to God. In that sense, He is Nur. In that sense, He is Munawwir, the one who enlightens and the one who illuminates, the one who brings to life, the one who sustains life, the one who gives enlightenment to the hearts, the one who enables hearts to get belief, to sustain belief and guidance. These are some of the meanings of Nur which have appeared in the Quran. Ya Nuru, I'm in darkness. I am in trouble. That's darkness. I am in a state of disobedience. That's darkness. I feel unhappy. That's darkness. All the limitations and the defects that you can imagine, therefore you are in a state of darkness. So long as you are distant away from the all-perfect one, the all-knowing one, your state of ignorance, darkness. The all-powerful one, your state of weakness, darkness. The all-kind one, your cruelty and lack of compassion, darkness. All the negative qualities you can imagine, experience it, feel it, and realize that this is a state of darkness because of distance away from the all light. And then earnestly and sincerely cry out, Ya Nuru. But Nuru meaning the physical light? No, Ya Quddusu. Quddus, the translation is the Holy One, the one who is pure from all defects, from all limitations. In the Quran, it appears in two surahs, in Surah Jumu'ah, chapter 62, and Surah Hashr, chapter 59. يُسَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ الْمَلِكِ الْقُدُّوسِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَكِيمِ. It also appears in Surah Hashr when there's a list of 16 names of God. One of them is Quddus. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر سبحان الله عما يشركون. Quddus is somewhat similar in meaning to Subbuh, and that entity and that being to whom all the tasbih applies, that is Quddus, the pure one from all defects. Any defect, any limitation that you can imagine, he doesn't have it. Any negative quality, cruelty, not there. Lack of compassion, not there. Injustice, not there. Weakness, ignorance, arrogance. All the evil attributes that you can imagine, Subbuh, Quddus, Allah doesn't have them. No, beyond that, all the positive qualities, in its limited sense, it's not there. Subbuh, Quddus. In the Quran, there's repeatedly this phrase that comes, and the mushrikeen associate partners unto him. Subhanallahi amma yushrikun. And the mushrikeen say he has children. The angels, the holy ones, are the daughters of God. Subhanallahi amma yushrikun. Some of the jinn are associated with God. Subhanallahi amma yushrikun. Not jinn, not angels, humans. So and so is a son of God. Ta'alallahu amma yushrikun. Subhanallah. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Any quality that you can ascribe to God, which is not in the highest perfect sense, Subhanallahi amma yasifun. Subbuh is the highest in perfection and therefore in purity. That is the sense of Quddus. Oh Lord, where can I turn? Do I turn to an idol? To a jinn? To another human? To angels? No, forget all these things. Just the material world, and I believe things are there by chance. Subbuh, Quddus. It's impossible for anything other than Him to do anything for me. That is the supreme sense of Quddus. And then to validate this, one of the most powerful proofs for why He has to be Nur and Quddus, Ya Awwal al-Awwalin. This angel or this idol or this material force or this human being, it wasn't there before. You are the first of all the first ones. Even if we assume somebody is the first one, but he is the first before all the first ones, and he's the last after all the last ones, in implying his existence and his being is self-existence. Self-subsistence. It's not borrowed. It's not dependence on any other force, any being, any entity outside his own being. And therefore, he is Samad. And therefore, he is Ghani. And therefore, he is Qayyum. And therefore, he is Quddus. And therefore, he is Awwal al-Awwalin and Akhir al-Akhirin. In the Quran, there's an interesting incident in Surah Taha chapter 20 where this concept of God being the everlasting one is mentioned in a practical sense. If we do believe God is the last of the last ones, or He's the first of all the first ones, then the practical manifestation of that is beautifully illustrated in this incident of the magicians performing in the court of Fir'aun. Notice, beginning from ayah number 65, Ya Musa, imma an tulqiya, wa imma an nakuna awwala man alqa. Musa, either you begin your magic or we begin our magic. So Musa alayhi salam says, Bal alqu. No, you start first. فَإِذَا حِبَالُهُمْ وَعِصِيُّهُمْ يُخَيَّلُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ سِحْرِهِمْ أَنَّهَا تَسْعَى. They started playing magic on their ropes and on their rods, and they made people imagine that the ropes and the rods are moving like snakes. They made people imagine by their magic. فَأَوْجَسَ فِي نَفْسِهِ خِيفَةً مُوسَى. Musa at this time got worried. Not worried because of the snakes. Imaginary. Not worried because of the magic. False. Perhaps worried that, oh Lord, these people, if they're not mature in their thinking and they're convinced by magic, when I show them the miracle, they may not fully appreciate. فَأَوْجَسَ فِي نَفْسِهِ خِيفَةً مُوسَى. قُلْنَا لَا تَخَفْ مُوسَى. Immediately that thought crossed his mind, we supported him. In his heart we inspired him. يَا مُوسَى لَا تَخَفْ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْأَعْلَى. You will surely overwhelm them. There's no doubt about it. وَأَلْقِ مَا فِي يَمِينِكَ. What is in your right hand, the rod, cast it. تَلْقَفْ مَا صَنَعُوا. It shall gobble up and eat what they are trying to create in the imaginary world. إِنَّمَا صَنَعُوا كَيْدُ سَاحِرٌ لَا يُفْلِحُ السَّاحِرُ حَيْثُ أَتَى. The magician can never be successful because it's based on false ideas. When truth appears, falsehood disappears. فَأُلْقِيَ السَّحَرَةُ سُجَّدًا. The people, when they saw Musa's rod actually turning into a snake, they were not quick in reaction. Fir'aun, when he saw Musa's rod turn into a snake and eat up the rods and the ropes of the magicians, he did not react. The first people who reacted, because they realized the truth, were the magicians themselves. فَأُلْقِيَ السَّحَرَةُ سُجَّدًا قَالُوا آمَنَّا بِرَبِّ هَارُونَ وَمُوسَى. Oh, what we were playing were tricks of the mind. What this man is doing is the truth and the reality. Fir'aun says, آمَنْتُمْ لَهُ قَبْلَ أَنْ آذَنَ لَكُمْ. Where did you get the permission to obey Musa before taking consent from me? Now that you've disobeyed me, لَأُقَطِّعَنَّ أَيْدِيَكُمْ. I shall arrest you and I shall punish you by chopping off your hands. وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ مِنْ خِلَافٍ. And your legs, the right hand and the left leg, or the left hand and the right leg. That's the worst punishment there is for anyone who disobeys. And you have thrown my whole kingdom into doubt by your disobedience. وَلَأُصَلِّبَنَّكُمْ فِي جُذُوعِ النَّخْلِ. And I shall crucify you all in these tall date palm trees. وَلَتَعْلَمُنَّ أَيُّنَا أَشَّدُّ عَذَابًا وَأَبْقَى. And then you shall realize who is the stronger one, this man who is playing around with his stick, and who has more power to sustain himself, Musa or Fir'aun. Look at the reaction, and that is the whole reason I quoted the story. The answer they give is the practical application of their belief. Ya awwal al awwalin wa ya akhir al akhirin. And Fir'aun and all the people of Fir'aun, therefore, are lifeless in front of them. The response they give is qalu, that lan nu'thiraka ala ma ja'ana min al bayyinat. Listen, Fir'aun, we knew from inside you are not right, but it served our interest and we obeyed you. But now we have seen something else. This is different. What we have seen is the truth. وَالَّذِي فَطَرَنَا. And the one who created us. فَقْضِ مَا أَنْتَ قَاضٍ. You can do whatever you want. إِنَّمَا تَقْضِي هَذِهِ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. What can you do? Maximum. You can't force me to obey falsehood. I will resist. What can you do? You're going to take away my wealth? You are going to arrest my family? What are you going to do? You will imprison me? You'll punish me in my body? Finally, you will take away my life? Take it away. All this is temporary. Temporary. What I have seen now is the sign of the ever-living one. Ya awwal al-awwalin. They did not say so, but their action showed they believed it in their heart. Ya akhir al-akhirin. And then they said, Inna amanna bi rabbina liyaghfira lana khatayana wama akrahtana alayhi min as-sihr. You imposed on us, you forced us to obey you. You threaten us if we didn't obey you, so we practice magic for your sake. But we didn't want to do it. Now we've discovered the truth, we are going to abandon magic, the practice of magic. Wallahu khayrun wa abqa. God, the absolute truth, He is the one who is everlasting. He is the one who deserves to be obeyed and not you. This, if we experience this reality, the temporariness and the fleeting nature of everything, everything other than God, which everything attracts us and engages our minds and occupies our time, and therefore prevents us from devoting our time to the true everlasting life and to the true everlasting being. Once we appreciate that these are temporary, and we appreciate He is the everlasting one, that's when we can cry out sincerely and earnestly, Ya awwal al-awwaleen, wealth will not distract me. Ya akhir al-akhirin, no other power will distract me. After that, then you can begin now to ask for forgiveness. And you notice, for example, also in Surah Qasas, go back one slide please. Qasas chapter 28, ayah number 88, the ending ayah, that everything other than Allah will perish. The one who will survive is Allah alone. وَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرَ. Do not ever pray and hope in anything from anyone other than Allah. لا إله إلا هو. Why? Because there is no power who deserves to be worshipped and prayed to other than Allah. No angel, no idol, no human, no other material force. Not even yourself. كل شيء هالك إلا وجهه له الحكم وإليه ترجعون. Because everything other than Him, than Allah, by its very essence, by its very nature, right at the core of its being, it's perishable. It's perishable. Life is not from that entity itself. It's borrowed. The moment the donor takes away the life, the thing perishes. And therefore does not deserve to be revered and respected and obeyed and thanked and praised and asked for and worshipped and adored other than Allah. Ya akhir al akhirin. And this is beautifully summarized in Dua Jawshan Kabir. Next slide please. In verse number 33 we said Allah is Qadim, but He's Aqdam min kulli Qadim. Even if they are entities who are eternal to begin with, Allah is more eternal than them. They are eternal, yes, but secondary to Allah. Or in verse 31, Ya da'ima la yafut, Ya hayyan la yamut, Ya malikan la yazul, Ya baqiyan la yafna. All these are different aspects and dimensions of God being the first of the first, the last of all the last. Or in verse 36, He's addressed as baqi, waqi. In verse 37, Ya man kullu shay'in halik illa wajhahu. This is the ayah from Surah Qasas. In verse number 50, Ya man lam yalid wa lam yulad. In verse 52, Ya ilah al-awwalina wa ya ilah al-akhirina. In verse number 85, Ya awwalu, Ya akhiru, Ya zahiru, Ya batinu, Ya samadu, Ya sarmad. Sarmad is one name that combines both. Ya awwal al-awwalin, Ya akhir al-akhirin. You want to combine that in one name? Ya Sarmad. Next slide please. And there is one verse, number 70, which combines this whole idea of God being the everlasting one. Ya Hayyan Qabla Kulli Hay, Ya Hayyan Ba'da Kulli Hay, Ya Hayyan Laysa Kamithlihi Hay, Ya Hayyan La Yusharikuhu Hay, Ya Hayyan لا يحتاج إلى حي يا حي الذي يميت كل حي يا حي الذي يرزق كل حي يا حي الذي لم يرث الحياة من حي يا حي الذي يحيي كل ميت يا حي يا قيوم لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. Let's pray to Allah to get the tawfiq, to be able to call out to God after understanding who He is and why He is so and why nothing else qualifies. Subbuh Quddus, and therefore all the attention there. Ya Nur, Ya Quddus. And then we start praying. Allahumma gfir li al-dhunub al-lati tahdiku al-isam. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.